A weak solidarity Brekkie team listener when big supremo Anthony Albanese got the states together to solve the problems of housing unaffordability, rental unaffordability in the private sector, and what a brilliant solution. He's handing billions to the states to subsidise the private sector to build more housing that people can't afford. Genius! They'll also fund the infrastructure the urban sprawl will require, saving the poor developers, the property industry, heaps more, although doing little to save the ecology, the flora and fauna destroyed by corporate welfare. And they all agreed a rent freeze wouldn't work because that would discourage the private sector from providing the rentals that people can't afford. And they all know public housing doesn't work, else they wouldn't have flogged it off and privatised it. So there's the solution. Another $3.5 billion pissed up against the wall of the private sector. Anthony then waddled off to the Socialist Party conference, more like a three-day theatre with each act carefully choreographed. The left, we are told, the left, what's the definition of a misnomer? We are told having the numbers for the first time in eons, thanks to a bit of a break on the right branch stacking in Victoria, sensibly using those numbers to ensure the right wins as usual. But then it would take the world's largest telescope to detect the slightest difference between them, and then doubt if it could detect any. The only time they come to blows in serious, critically important political debate is fighting over who gets their bums on the plush seats, and doesn't that make a difference? The conference was told by one of those bums on the plush, Minister for Train Killing and Being Offensive Richard Malls, the bad guys, they must support Faucus, $38 million a day for 30 years on killing people because it will create thousands of well-paid union jobs. So obviously they can't think of projects that would create all those jobs but not kill people or support killing people. And Richard must plan to change the caring business class laws that make it illegal to force workers to join an evil union, or the thousands of jobs could find themselves fined billions as caring employers object to the abrogation of their workers' God-given right not to join a union, parallel to their God-given right to enjoy the benefits won by the evil unions they won't join on God-given principle. And those most evil of evil unions, construction and maritime, want the filthy rich to be taxed to provide the public housing the governments know we don't need. But the government points out it has that item covered. It will fulfil its promise to untax the filthy rich, make them lots more filthy richer. All the more reason why those calling for spending on public housing are being so selfish, depriving the filthiest rich of their God-given filthiest rich rights. Worse, the selfish unions also want the government to ban the cut stone kitchen bench industry killing workers with silicosis, while the government is still consulting on the best way to stop workers dying, and the industry points out that right now it would be economic suicide to stop workers dying. We're sure the government will find the proper balance, perhaps a formula on how many workers should die or suffer excruciating pain per so many benchtops. The filthiest rich of the filthy rich are proof that the filthiest rich of the filthy rich are the big ideas people in this world, this greatest little economic order of them all world, exemplified this week by two of our filthiest rich of women, Gina Wronghart and Katie Pages of Wealth. Katie, the ever-happy partner of the ever-happy Jerry of the ubiquitous Halfy for Us and Halfy for Us Norman, who also owns the super-profitable Magic Millions Thoroughbred Empire. And what these community-minded True Blue Aussies have in common is their endless litany of big ideas with one common thread. They have brilliant plans for governments to fork out heaps of money and or facilitate new ways for them to make even more profit without having to spend a cent of their own. And always for the common good, their sole concern. This week, Katie was photographed with leading sportswomen boasting her support for more investment in women's sport. Yes, she supported more investment by government. See? She gets the publicity and doesn't have to spend a cent. And then she turned up calling for the His Most Gracious Majesty's Dominion Games to be held on the Gold Coast, where her thoroughbred empire just happens to be located, and called on the Victorian government to hand the money it would have spent on the games to the Gold Coast mayor. See? Thinking only of the common good. And Gina also called for the games to head north while pointing out she had no intention of providing any of the wherewithal. But more importantly for the national interest, Gina told a conference in Western Tribune Aussie sponsored by Gina, one of our biggest pastoralists and squatters, as well as our biggest resource billionaire, that the agricultural industry, pastoralists and the squatocracy, cannot afford the costs of addressing climate change, of zero emissions, and yes, you guessed it, the government should meet the costs. True Blue Aussie's filthiest rich of the filthy rich person says the government should pay her to do something or other about climate change. And to show just how big-hearted this super generous offer is, prepared to take one for the country, Gina doesn't even believe in climate change. But in the national interest, she's prepared to take the money. So listener, there's the secret of super-duper obscene wealth. Come up with brilliant ideas, big nation-building ideas, in which the government hands you the public purse. Meanwhile, in that lawyer's picnic, Gina and co. continue their fight over the spoils of the filthy rich, with her offspring's counsel this week accusing poor Gina of defrauding them. Poor Gina! Happy Families drags on, along with public voyeurism. And another from the top of our filthiest rich of, Anthony Eura Pratt, is also into the honeypot. Anthony is so generous with other people's money, he's had his eyes on all that lovely, lovely workers' super for ages, throwing up exciting altruistic ideas on how the filthy rich can get their hands on it through it investing in the filthy rich. So altruistic, he's running full-page ads, Jobs for True Blue Aussies. He's proud to sponsor the Super Fund Lending to Business Roundtable. Sir Anthony, a true knight of the round table, making a killing using workers' money to employ workers using their own money to exploit themselves. The caring business class taking that money all the way to the bank without risking one cent of their own. Like toll road recipient of public largesse, Transfer Your Wealth Urban announcing a new supremo to take over in October, Michelle Jabulco-Ko the motorist, who proudly declared she wants to continue to deliver value to customers. Whatever that means. Customers. That's those poor captives handing their hard-earned to Transfer Your Wealth Urban to enjoy sitting in a traffic jam morning and night. Her appointment announced under a headline, Transfer Your Wealth Keeps On... Oh, no, we can't say that on air. No. Oh, no, sorry, we can. My mistake. Keeps on trucking. Last week, we celebrated that record profit at the Witch Bank, which used to be our bank, allowing it to help its struggling customers, presumably to keep struggling after the Witch Bank has no choice but, reluctantly, to toss them into the gutter. Anyway, it's got a subsidiary called Unloan, another misnomer because its business is just that, loans, contributing marvellously to the record profits, but talk about ungrateful. A worker it was good enough to provide with a job, a 38-hour-a-week job, complained he was forced to work 60-hour weeks, 7 days a week, perform multiple roles not in his job description, complained, failing to comprehend it's the nature of the job, and sensibly, when he complained about all that, Unload had no option but to unpay him, sadly have to let him go. And what thanks? This selfish worker is suing for unfair dismissal. But to balance that distressing attack on Witch Bank, which used to be, we mean how else is it going to go on making record profits, balance that, exciting news, listener, that irresistible 92-year-old male sex symbol Lord Rupert of Wapping is in love again. Women just can't resist him, can they? Whooping it up on his luxury yacht with the latest smitten, lucky, many, many decades younger woman, a Russian scientist, the happy couple last seen sailing off Corfu with two of Lord Rupert's offspring from his third, or was that his fourth or whatever marriage, the Chinese woman he married to facilitate making money in China. I'm sure you're as excited as I am, listener, and on all our behalves, we wish the happy couple a wonderful, profitable future together. The last one, an arch-conservative radio shock jock with whom he would have had so much in common, he nonetheless called off the marriage at the last minute. The previous one, with whom he had gone down the aisle, he emailed to say it was all over. He's so lovable, isn't he? Well, to show just how much he cares for all of us, we started with the private sector solution to the private sector housing problems. Cares for all of us, Lord Rupert's Newsbury Limited is promoting Future Victoria Business Leaders Event. The keynote speaker, award-winning urban designer and a globally recognised expert in smart cities and social change. And to show what a boon this will be for all of us, it's sponsored by Lord Rupert's Wapping Sin, the Chamber of Profits, the Crook Casino, and builder-developer John Holland Profits. So that's guaranteed to make a big difference. Interesting to know at Lord Rupert's idea of social change. Perhaps we could pass on a few of our ideas, a few of our thoughts on that. Finally, as all of the above sank into irrelevance, the recently deceased fighter for his cause, Harry Belafonte, sang, "Matilda, sing a little louder." But alas, they couldn't quite sing loudly enough. Good morning.